Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown. Today is Tuesday, the 11th of March, 2014. You're safe. No harm will come to you in this space. As always, my goal is to bring you more love, more happiness, more joy, more compassion, more peace, and more abundance into your life. I ask each and every week to listen to this show with the goal of taking one thing out of the show that you can implement into your daily life. And the reason I ask that is that I know from experience speaking and from experience in life, we're creatures of habit. And the only way we're going to change anything is if we make a conscious effort to do that. So you'll hear all this stuff and say, wow, that was good. Well, and then I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody, and let's say I'm talking to you, and you say, you know what? We had a great keynote speaker last year. She said, did it. I said, what was her name? And they go, I don't know. So anyway, take one thing out of here that you can implement into your life. And as always, I'll ask you at the end of the show. Today's show is going to be on the art and the gift of listening. And we'll talk about that in a minute. If you want to call in, as always, it's on your screen. It's 646-595-2831. Or you can jump into the chat room. Either way, I'd love to hear from you. So we'll start with an opening quote from Stephen Covey, and he said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. And we all see that all the time. I, along with the rest of you, am guilty of that. You know, you get involved in it, you go, oh, okay, well, you know, let me respond to it. Let me do this. Let me fix it. Let me tell them about my story and all that type of thing. The other quote I have for the beginning, and my father-in-law basically told me this same thing all the time. And he said, we have two ears and one mouth so that we should listen more than we speak. Well, the way he put it is, we have two ears and one mouth so that you listen twice as much as you speak. And this was from Zeno of Sentium. Don't know who that is or when he or she said it. Today I have a bunch of stuff, if you will, and it's called Wonderful English from Around the World. And these are, we've all seen these kinds of things where they're sayings and they didn't quite come out the way they were intended to come out. So the first one was posted in a Bangkok temple. It is forbidden to enter a woman, even a foreigner, if dressed as a man. Now this one is from a cocktail lounge in Norway. Ladies are requested not to have children in the bar. Now from a doctor's office in Rome. Specialist in women and other diseases. Now, ladies, don't get offended, please. Next one's from a dry cleaner's in Bangkok. Drop your trousers here for the best results. Well, we were in Bangkok, and the reputation there is if you had a masseuse, it was more like she was a prostitute. So I hired a masseuse, and they come to the hotel room. And I thought, oh, it'll be safe. First thing she says is to take your clothes off, down to your underwear. And I went, uh-oh. Well, the rest of it was A-rated. At any rate, right, Rosemary? In a Nairobi restaurant, customers who find our waitress rude ought to see the manager. I love that one. On the main road to Mombasa, leaving Nairobi, which we've taken, and boy, it's a road and a half. Take notice, when this sign is underwater, this road is impassable. Oh, don't you love it? On a poster at KenCom, I have no idea where that is. Are you an adult that cannot read? If so, we can help. stupidity reigns supreme. In a city restaurant, open 7 days a week and weekends. Now, this one's in a cemetery. Persons are prohibited from picking flowers from any but their own graves. Just Tokyo's hotels, rules and regulations. Pardon me. Well, before we get on to that, Rosemary has bronchitis, and as most of you know, she's my wife, and she gave me this gift of a cough. So I will try, when I feel the cough coming on, I have a headset, so the microphone is there, so I'll try and move it out of my way so I don't blast you with my coughing. But please be patient with me today. Or every other day, that would be nice, too. Tokyo Hotel's rules and regulations. Guests are requested not to smoke or do other disgusting behaviors in bed. On a menu of a Swiss restaurant, our wines leave you nothing to hope for. Now, I'm sure that they intended that to be meant for something totally different, huh? In a Tokyo bar, special cocktails for the ladies with nuts. And I love to do this kind of thing. When I was marking myself as a speaker, I've made over 50,000 phone calls. And I love to play with the multiple meanings of words. And here's one right there. I mean, that was innocent, wasn't it? In a hotel in Japan, you are invited to take advantage of the chambermaid. Okay. How about this? We're not going to be in Moscow. We're going to be in St. Petersburg in May. In the lobby of a Moscow hotel across from a Russian Orthodox monastery, you are welcome to visit the cemetery where famous Russian and Soviet composers, artists, and writers are buried daily, except Thursday. Hotel in Zurich, because of the impropriety of entertaining guests of the opposite sex in the bedroom, it is suggested that the lobby be used for this purpose. Advertisement for donkey rides in Thailand. Would you like to ride on your own ass? And here, you'll love this one. From airline ticket office in Copenhagen. We take your bags and we send them in all directions, just like British Airways. We have two more. A laundry in Rome. Ladies, leave your clothes here and then spend the rest of the afternoon having a good time. And they call this one the classic of all time, seen in an Abu Dhabi souk shop window. If the front is closed, please enter through my backside. Okie dokie, I hope that lightens you up. It's always more fun to say it to people that are laughing, but I know that Laura in Michigan tells me she's laughing all the time with this. Which reminds me, before I get too far ahead of myself, Laura had asked that we do a program on vulnerability. So the next program, and I'll tell you about it at the end of the show, is going to be on vulnerability. We've all been vulnerable, and we've all gotten hurt. And many times, we just stop being vulnerable because of the pain. Anyway, let's get started with today's program. We're going to talk about three kinds of listening. And I'm going to do it, we're going to talk about listening to others, we'll talk about listening to your body, and listening to your intuition. I kind of like to go with the body and the intuition first, but I have the sense that the best thing to do is to go with listening to others. Now, in the script that I put together to announce the show, one of the things I say, which I'd love to have somebody disagree with me, every single one of us has problems. And at some time or another, every single one of us have fears that can overwhelm us from time to time. So, now, we're always talking to each other, aren't we? And we got to learn to understand what it is that other people want from that conversation. You saw in the opening quote that so many of us, we listen with the idea of speaking, not of understanding. And then we'll get into understanding as a key element of listening in a few minutes. But some people, they can regurgitate the words back, but they're just looking for you to pause for a breath, and then they jump in. It can be something that you said that triggers something in their mind, and off they go, like Jeff from the gym. We'd come back from a trip, and I was telling him, I don't know how I got it, but we were in Gibraltar, in the Rock of Gibraltar, and we were on a tour, and there were those monkeys there. And one of them jumped up on Rosemary's back, climbed onto her head, and is looking down at her face from up above. And I got four pictures of this, and they're great pictures. And I was starting to tell him about the pictures. Well, he had been to Gibraltar, and he started talking about Gibraltar. And that was the end of my conversation. So I was there wanting to share our three-week cruise. And we've all done this. And I sit here and say, okay, I want to talk today about how to listen. Don't for a minute think that I'm a great listener. I think a lot of times women are better listeners than men, but there are a lot of times that they aren't. Because women were socialized, many women were socialized different to listen to a male and nod at him and tell him how wonderful he is and all that good stuff. But listening is, the title of this program is, it's, listening is actually an art, and listening to somebody else is a gift. And I had, the first thing I want to say about is to give your full attention to a person. How often are you talking to someone and your eyes are darting to the left, darting to the right, looking at somebody behind you, and it really communicates that you're partially there? Well, I'm sure I've told you before that in 1988 I went to three Tony Robbins seminars, and at the time I was working for a company that taught small businesses how to run a business, and the premise is that we work in the business, not on the business. So here we are. We're supposed to start at 6:30. Tony is in the back of the room. There's going to be 300 people at this weekend firewalk seminar. And 6:30, and there's people lined up all the way down the hall to register. And I went up there, and I wanted to talk to him about that. And I sat down. First of all, Tony Robbins is 6'8". And I don't know how many of you remember when your dad walked you when you were a little girl or a little boy, and you put your, what we called then, your paddy in his hand, and his hand just enveloped you. It was so large. Well, that's the same thing with Tony Robbins as an adult. At any rate, Tony locked in on me. Now, he was going to give a four-day seminar, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday night, and for 300 people. And I came up to him to talk to something about his business. And it was as if there was nobody else around. And that was the first time it ever happened to me. And when someone gives you the gift of their complete attention, it can be intimidating until you get used to it. And you stay focused. So give somebody that gift of love, of paying complete attention to what they're saying. And the first part of that is the eye contact. In this country, and again, I don't know where people are listening to this in the world. I know that Helga is in England. I know that Patty is in France. I know that Rosie is in Mexico. You're the only three that I can think of that listen to the show outside of the United States on a consistent basis. So your cultures may be different. Where there are some cultures where a woman isn't supposed to make eye contact with a man and things like that. So I'm not addressing that because I don't know what that's like. But here, for us in the United States, it's very important to maintain eye contact because then you're locking in with the person. Now, you're going to look away so you're not staring at them and making them uneasy, but maintain that eye contact. Then you want to focus all of your attention on what's being said. Now, when we're communicating, when we're talking, there's three aspects of it. There's the words we say, there's the intonation, and there's our body language. Now, the words we say, according to studies, represent 8% of the total communication. The intonation is 37%. And the body language is 55%. So now let's just say you and I are talking to each other on the telephone. You can't see my body language, can you? So now you have to be consciously aware of the words I say and the intonation that I give to them to be able to ascertain what, you know, what I mean. And how often is it what's in between the words, the silence, the way the words are said? Now, I don't know how many of you have kids, but when our youngest son, Matt, was growing up, for about 7 years, he had a one-word vocabulary. Fine. No matter what you ask him, how was school today? Fine. How's everything going? Fine. And you can hear by the tone of the word and the way it's said. Like with Rosemary, she's sitting downstairs, and as I mentioned earlier, she has bronchitis, and I'll ask her, how are you? And I watch, and she'll pause, and she'll say, okay. Well, I'm interpreting the pause and the way she says okay, that she's saying okay, but there's something amiss here. And then I want to inquire into it because we're partners. And the whole game is for us to be there with and for each other. And we're not taught to be open, to be honest, to be vulnerable. There's three shows that I have that are coming up. One is Living in the Present, that you know, people think there's three periods of time, the past, present, and the future. The reality is that there's only one, which is the present, and we know that, but we think about the past and we worry about the future and we miss the present. And the second program that I'll do is being yourself or being true to yourself. And that's extremely important. We have to communicate who we are and what our wants and needs are. Like I said before, we'll be married 47 years and somehow she thinks that I can read her mind. I could be married to this lady for 1,000 years and I won't be able to read her mind. We're wired different. And that's the whole thing. We think everybody is wired like we are. And everybody sees life the way we do. And that's never going to work because there isn't another human being alive that sees life the way you see it. So when you listen with the idea of listening, actively listening. So when we're communicating, when we're speaking, then the best way is to say, hey, I want to get this off of my chest. Can you just sit here for 10 minutes and listen to me? I don't need any recommendations for solving this problem. I just want to, you know, bare my soul or get it off my chest. And if you as the speaker communicate that to us, particularly you women communicate it to us men, because then we can say, oh, okay, I can do that. But if you don't, in lieu of that direction, what we tend to do, because we're hunter-gatherers, is we're going to say, okay, she wants me to solve the problem. Here I come. I'm going to solve the problem. So first of all, communication is the responsibility of the person communicating. So when you're speaking, tell me what it is that you want from me or you're asking for me, from me. And even at that, you don't always get it. And as an example, I may have talked about this before. I've told you that Rosemary was in the hospital for 8 days with shingles and high blood pressure, and then they complicated it. And I came home at night, and I was just totally unglued. I could barely function to get myself something to eat, make sure the dog had eaten, and get to bed. It was just like that jack-in-the-box, and that spring comes out. Boing, and there I was. Now, what I needed was love and compassion. And I would talk to people and tell them what had happened. And without exception, and the last one being yesterday, everybody I said, Rosemary's in the hospital, she has shingles, or had shingles, they're going to tell me of somebody that they knew that had shingles and how bad their shingles was. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, had to pay a bill, one of the bills from that experience, and she said, oh, yeah. She says, you say, I burnt a piece of toast. And they'll say, I burnt the whole roast. And it's like everybody wants to outdo whatever it is you're saying. The person listening wants to outdo it. We're not in a competition. And I don't know how many of you have taken yoga, but that's the greatest lesson I've gotten from yoga. Life is not a competition. They tell us in yoga, you don't compete with yourself yesterday, with the person to your left, the person to your right, with your right side versus your left side. They're both different. They're going to respond. One's going to be tighter. One's going to be more flexible, etc. And when we can get that, that life's not a competition, that realistically, even if that person doesn't say it to you, they're saying, hey, I'm feeling alone and isolated. Could you just hear me and validate me? When I speak on change, I will ask, or on solving problems, I will ask the audience to break into groups. And I used to do a lot of pharmacy audiences and ask them to break in groups of five, and then when I saw, because that's how they count pills, and then when I saw that, you know, there'd be a group of four, a group of three, or a group of six, I stopped saying that. But anyway, I would say, what's the biggest change going on in your career right now? What's the biggest problem going on in your career right now? What this did, first of all, if I asked that to you as an audience, none of you are going to call in and say, hey, Jim, this is the biggest problem. There's a couple of you in the chat room, but you're in the listening mode. Unless they sign in, it's guest number such and such. Unless they sign in, they can't ask questions. But anyway, so where was I? Oh, no. See, I distracted myself by switching to the chat room. I do this in front of a audience, and somebody can tell me where I was, but now there's none of you who can talk to me. We're talking about listening and communicating what it is that you want or what it is that you need. And I'll just move on. If it comes to me, we'll go on. We're going to focus our attention on the person. We're going to maintain eye contact. We're going to listen to the words we say. We're going to listen to the intonation, and we're going to watch the body language. Then the next thing we're going to do is let the speaker finish talking. And like I said earlier, most people look to interrupt, or they take off on a tangent of something you said, and so you're not listening when you're thinking about what you want to say next. Now, the closing story is about this next point. Ask questions. That's how you find out what's going on. Unless they ask you, would you help me solve this problem, just inquire more into them. You all know that you've met people in the middle of their life, and then we try and piece their life together. Well, this is a great opportunity to find out what's going on. Ask them. Be interested in them, and the way you're interested in them is by asking them questions, not by talking when they look like they stopped speaking or when a word they said has caused you to think of something else and you want to jump in, and then we're both off the track, right? Because you jump in and you tell me your story about this, and that triggers something in me, and then we totally forget what we're about. Remember now, you're going to ask their questions, or you want to say, do you want my input or suggestions, or do you want me to listen and act like a sounding board? It's never, ever, ever your job to tell anybody how to lead their life. If I ask you, that's one thing. And I had that in when Rosemary was in the hospital. And somebody calls and says, well, how come Rosemary didn't get a shingles shot? Like she's the MD. And I said, because she has lupus and it's an immune-compromised disease, and her rheumatologist told her she couldn't get it. And then she said, well, how come you didn't get it? And I said, goodbye, when I hung up. Well, I found out I did get it recently, and the Center for Disease Control says it only gives you a 50% chance of not getting shingles. I went, oh, okay, big deal. Anyway, when you're telling somebody else how to lead their life, basically you're giving them unsolicited advice. And another word for unsolicited advice is meddling. And none of you want anybody meddling into your life. If I come to you and I say, hey, Laura, hey, Sue, hey, Jack, I need your help here. Great. Then, you know, they've invited you. But otherwise, they're just saying something. And for whatever reason, oh, I know where I was. I was in telling people in a group to share their biggest change and their biggest problem. What that does, you're not going to tell me, hey, in front of 200 of your peers, hey, Jim, my biggest problem is blah, blah. But when I put you in a small group and then I say you're going to have a group leader and you as a group are going to say what the biggest change in your group was or what the biggest problem in your group was, you sit there in a group of 3 or 4 or 5 people thinking that you're the only one that has the kind of problem that you have or that's going through the kind of change, whether it's a health change, a divorce, a financial situation, whatever it happens to be. And then you listen to these other people's problems and you say, wow, I guess I'm not alone. Their problem is just as bad as mine. So it has an extraordinary value when you're in a group and you're seeing that you aren't alone. Which reminds me, when you listen to this, listen to it with friends and then have a discussion. And the beauty of this is you can pause it because the numbers, excuse me, the numbers, the last 3 shows, which I've been spacing 2 to 3 weeks apart, they've shown me that's what you want. Because the average of the last 3 shows has been about 460 each time. And only 5 to 8 or 9 of you listen to this live. Which means that like the last show we did had 469 people who listened to it. 9 live listens. So 460 of you have downloaded it. The other 9 of you, if you listen to it live and you want to listen to it with somebody else, you can download it and listen together. But why not listen with 2 or 3 of you and say, hey, that's a good point. Pause the tape or however you have it, you know, on your MP3 player or your computer or whatever you use to listen to it, and then discuss it. Because remember this, we're all in this world together. We're all having the same general kinds of issues together. So doesn't it make sense that we're here to help each other, we're here to take care of each other, and when we talk next time about vulnerability, we got to let go of that stuff. You know, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, people are going to think whatever they want to think of you. And for probably the 30th time in this series, I'll quote Kerry Cole Whitaker's book, "What You Think of Me Is None of My Business." If you get that in your life will change. If there's only one thing you've gotten out of all these shows, it's a Tyler Terry's book. And I need to email her and ask her if she wants to be a guest. What you think of me is none of my business. That gives you the freedom to be who you are, which is one of the next 3 shows, being true to yourself or being yourself. So we want to be able to do that and share what's going on here with 2 or 3 other people. Share it with people you work with because we're all in the same boat. We all have problems, every single one of us. We're all dealing with change in our life. We are all living in a world that's run by fear. We have to decide, like Bob Proctor says, another quote I love, and that's faith and fear both demand that you believe in something you cannot see. Go ahead, you choose. So we got to decide. We don't want to get sucked into it like a tornado and get sucked into the wind of the tornado. We don't want to do that. We want to choose how we're going to respond to our life. And let's just look at how other people respond to things and say, gee, I never thought of it that way. I mean, Rosemary will come up with suggestions all the time. I never would have thought of it. And I've gotten over that point, like, you know, I'm smarter than she is. Who cares? We're in it together. We're in it to take care of each other. We're in it to be there to love and support each other. So the best gift you can give somebody is to listen to them. Okay, so another way to do that is to repeat what the speaker said to make sure you got the meaning of what they said. You know, they say, like in a party, and I don't think it has to, let's just say there's 4 people, and I whisper something in your ear, and you whisper it in the third person's ear, and the third person whispers it in the fourth person's ear, and the fourth person whispers it back to me. you'll probably never get the exact thing that you said back to you, and it's only gone through four people. So we got to listen and repeat what we thought they said. Remember the TV show Ghost Whisper with Jennifer Love Hewitt? And it, James M. Prague was one of the producers, and he's a medium. And in that, Jennifer played the part of a medium, and the person who had passed away appeared to her, and they would say something. And then let's say it was somebody you love, and then Jennifer would repeat that to you, but she wouldn't repeat it. She'd paraphrase it. I'm thinking, why? Just repeat what it is that the person said. Exactly. Now, our goal when we listen is to understand. And as I said, the only way we can understand is if we ask questions. Don't assume what you think they mean is what they mean. I've said before that I speak two languages. I speak English, and I translate what Rosemary says into what she means. And we all do that, don't we? That we say one thing and we mean something else. So we have to find out what the person means. And we have to do that by what? By asking them questions. Did you mean blah, blah when you said that? No, 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 I meant this. The next idea is, while we're listening, we're going to want to give these people feedback. You may want to nod, smile, frown if it's something bad. I'm going to cough again. Hold on. Thank you for your patience in waiting. I am back. Don't they all say that when you're calling someone up on the phone? So listen with your ears and with your face and with the rest of your body. So listening isn't just, you know, with our ears. We listen with our face. And you know that when the two of us are talking on the telephone and you're speaking, and if you don't hear, or something from me, I'll bet you within, and I don't know the number, I'm just guessing, 30 to 45 seconds, if you don't hear something on the other end, you'll say, Jim, are you still there? So that illustrates how important it is for each of us to give that feedback. Yeah, we're with you. We're with you. Keep on. Tell me more. Tell me more. That's a great phrase, isn't it? Tell me more. Now, last thing that I want to talk about in terms of listening to other people is that sometimes we need emotional support. I told you when I told people about what was going on with Rosemary, all I needed was love and compassion. Because I was totally a fish out of water. I didn't know what to do. I was absolutely terrified. I didn't need anybody giving me horror stories about shingles. That isn't going to help me get through it. And you got to remember and think about, what impact is what you're going to say going to have on somebody else? Most of us, most of the time, including myself, we blurt it out before we think of the impact. And that becomes problematic. Some of us never even think of the impact. But how many times have each one of us said something and then, you know, as soon as those words went out, you went, oh my God, I never should have said that. And Linnell Beckstrom, when I took a class in Salt Lake City 10 years ago, she always would say, when you make a mess, clean it up. Rosemary likes to watch Everybody Loves Raymond. And Raymond never cleans his messes up. He's always trying to defend why he did what he did. The episode we saw last night, he found out that the ring he gave Deborah as an engagement ring was a fake. So he tried to get it off her finger, gets it off her finger, goes and gets a real one, only to find out she had exchanged it for her grandmother's ring, stone, which was worth $15,000. And instead of just saying, hey, I'm sorry, I was stupid, you know, please forgive me, let's see what we can do to find it, he goes on and on and on about, you know, why he was right. It isn't important to be right. It's important to be happy. And let's let go of the need to be right. And just work with each other to be happy, to make other people happy, to bring a smile to their face, to lighten their load, even by listening to them. If you listen for a few minutes and that they feel like they're not alone, then it makes it easier for them to deal with this. So sometimes when we're talking, what we need is emotional support. So you need to determine, does somebody need to hear, hey, you know what, Noreen, you can do this. I know you can do this. I've seen you work before in the past. I know. Or I'm just thinking of Noreen is Paul and Noreen and Brianna are friends of ours, and Brianna is a senior in high school, and she is already having anxiety attacks about going away to college. And I was talking to another friend in Utah yesterday whose daughter is going to be leaving in another year, and she's already upset about the idea of the empty nest. So, Brianna, you can do this. You're going to be fine in college. Your mom and dad are going to be there. They'll be there with you. They'll be there for you. And they'll watch you blossom into this amazing woman that you're going to be. We need support. We need to understand we aren't alone. We need the motivation. And you, as a listener, want to be able to do that. And do that in truth. If somebody's on their deathbed, you're not going to tell them, well, you know, Ma, you'll make it through this. Just keep on toughing it out. Don't give up hope, you know, blah, blah. No, we don't want to do that. We want to be honest, don't we? That's the part of vulnerability, of being honest and determining what it is that you believe that the person needs from you right now. And if you're not sure, what do? You ask. The next thing I want to share with you in the idea of emotional support is that I'm here for you in any capacity you need from me. Simple as that. Oops, I wasn't even looking up. Somebody is on, well, somebody's listening on the phone. If that person in the 760 area code wants to speak, I think you got to dial number one or press number one, and then I'll know. Sometimes we just need a hug. We don't need any talking, just a hug. And a hug, I don't know how many of you have watched hugs. Certain people, they'll kiss, and they'll move cheeks next to cheeks and kiss to the air on one side, kiss to the air on the other side. Some people hug with a shoulder. You know, to me, you hug a person. And I didn't know hugging was a big deal until I was involved in teaching people that were studying to become Catholic. And a nun told me twice that I was a good hugger. And so nuns are people too, aren't they? So we just want to hug a person. Let them feel that they're safe. And to me, the last and most important thing here is that you want to be able to listen with compassion. Don't listen like, I got all the answers, I know everything, you know, my situation is worse than yours. Have compassion. Compassion is, pardon me, is something that we're in sore need of in our world today. So that takes us through the part of listening to others. So what I want to do is go into listening to your body and listening to your intuition. But before that, I do that, I'm going to take a minute and a half worth of music. Technically, it's a minute and 36 seconds. See you on the other side of that. Okay, thank you. And as you know, I like classical music. And just for you visual people, I sit here in my office at my desk, and I have an Apple computer. And the way this works with Blog Talk Radio is I have my host call-in number. I call in, and then I have a PIN number to authorize me. And then I go on what's called my studio, and it has my number, and it has the list of anybody who's in line. Like right now, there's somebody from the 760 area code, and if they want to just listen to the show, they just listen to it on the telephone. If they want to talk, they press 1. And then I have the option here, I can click chat, and it brings me to the chat room, and there's two people in the chat room. And if you want to be in the chat room, I'd love to, but in order to speak in the chat room, you'll see on the bottom there, you have to say, put your name in or something like that, sign in, basically. If these two people are just guests, so they can just see what other people are saying, but they're the only ones in there, so I can't communicate back and forth. Anyhow, that's where we are. And if anybody out there wants to do their own show, they let you do a half-hour show, I think, as often as you want, and it's free. And if you want more time than that, like I do, then you have to pay. And on your screen there, where you're watching this, if you're watching it on the computer, there'll be a follow button. And if you click on that, what will happen is that you'll get notice of the show. I have no clue how you guys find me. Like I said, the last 3 weeks, last three shows, it's averaged about 465 people. Whereas before that, it was like 340, so 125 more. I only send out 170 emails, and only 40 of those get open. So if you want to keep track of it, you're going somewhere, and you click that follow, it'll just send you a notice when I post the next show. And since we're not going to be doing it every week, and based on the numbers, that's what seems to be, once every 2 weeks is enough. Okay, so much for that tangent. So now let's talk about listening to our body. Oh, our body talks to us all the time, doesn't it? It says, I'm tired. It says, this hurts. It says, I'm hungry. I'm full. You need to blow your nose. You need to go to the bathroom. It's too hot in here. It's too cold. It goes on and on and on. Tells us when it's tired, hot, cold, when it's stressed. Every one of our bodies tells us when it's in a stressful situation. Now, there's a lady at the gym who said she was going to call in today, and she says her body talks to her all the time, and she tells it to shut up. Well, it's my attitude that our body's our best friend, and when our body is speaking to us, we need to listen. We need to listen to what it has to say, because it's talking to us because something is out of balance. Whether it's talking about hunger, heat, cold, tired, we say, when the going get tough, the tough get going, no pain, no gain, and all these silly kinds of sayings that all of us have been exposed to throughout our whole life. You got to decide you're going to lead your life your way. My job is to lead my life my way, and when Rosemary was in the hospital, I said, I have two responsibilities. Number one is to take care of myself, because I can't take care of her if I can't take care of myself. So that has to be my number one responsibility. Number two then was to take care of her. And I said, you only have one responsibility. You got to take care of yourself. And when they made an error with the medicine in that, she said, well, we're going to sue him. No. We got to focus just on getting you well. And that's the whole thing. What happens is most all of us, whether we're men or women, are brought up thinking we don't deserve this, we're not good enough for this or that or the other thing. And how many people they teach you to be humble? You have these people that have these beautiful bodies, particularly women, and then they'll say, you compliment them and say, oh, no, not me. Or you compliment them on an outfit and say, oh, this old thing. Hey, when somebody compliments you, graciously say thank you. Now, I'm a very outgoing person, and when I'm speaking and I walk into a room that I'm speaking in, it's my room. And when people come up to me afterwards and talk to me and ask a question or compliment me, I learn to graciously just say, thank you, I appreciate you taking the time to express, excuse me, to express your thoughts and feelings. Because as outgoing as I am when it's my room, if it's your room and I'm listening to you speak, I'll sit there for 45 minutes trying to figure out how I want to formulate a question with you after the program is over. So I figure if I have that much problem expressing myself and I'm an extrovert, how about the other people? So when somebody says something nice to you, be gracious. Say thank you. I really appreciate you noticing that. Because that's the way it looks to them. So we've gone through the things that our body tells us. It tells us when it's tired. It tells us when we've had too much to eat or drink, when we're cold, when we're hot, when it's stressed. Make sure when your body tells you it's stressed, pick up that signal and listen to it, okay? And do something about it. When I do the program on stress, I say we're going to talk about four things. What causes stress, how your body tells you, how you respond to what your body tells you, and fourth and most important, what do you have to believe in order for this situation not to be a stressful situation? So when your body says I'm in stress, how do you nurture your body? That's the most important time ever to nurture your body is when it's in stress. And that's what we talked about in the pre-holiday program about how to minimize holiday stress. You got to listen to your body. When it's getting cold, it says, I'm too tired. I need to rest. Then you don't, and it says, okay, fine, we'll go with the flu. Boink, that'll knock you flat on your back. It says, take care of me. Take better care of me. And you go, but wait a minute, nobody ever told me I'm wonderful, I'm lovable, that I need to nurture my body. I need to take care of my body. I'll take care of other people's body, but not me. Particularly moms. I'll take care of my husband. I'll take care of my children. But then I'm last. And I'm asking you moms to let that go. Forget about it. Move on. You're number one. You come to us, come to me, and make the relationship full and complete when you come with a full tank of gas. Not when you come into the relationship exhausted and barely able to scrape it together. We don't need you like that. We need you in all of your beauty. And that reminds me, I'm going to do a show on the beauty of women. I'm writing it down, and I'm a man, so I can't do two things at one time. And I say that because Rosemary has been phenomenal. She's been a hospital pharmacist for 50 years, and I'd be living in a refrigerator box if it wasn't for her. And because of her, I admire women and what they can do and how they do it, because women, you have a much harder road to hoe than us men have. So I thank you for the incredibly hard road that you're going down, and I ask you, please stop being a martyr. Step up. Love yourself enough to take care of yourself is your number one responsibility. And let us become partners and share the joys and the sorrows of life with each other as equals. So we take care of our body, and the most important thing when we're in a stressful situation is to find a belief. What would I have to believe in order for this situation not to be stressful? Next thing I want, what happens when you don't listen to your body? It gives you a more severe warning, doesn't it? Like I said, if it's not a cold, it'll do the flu, it'll do a heart attack, it'll do a stroke. And if you don't change when you have a heart attack or a stroke, it'll say, fine, I quit. Shut it down. Let's kill the body off. And that's what it'll do. Last thing I want to talk about here today, pardon me, is listening to your intuition. Now, I've had groups in my home and thought that women were better at intuition and listening to their heart than men are. But because of the way women have been not only raised now, but the work world we live in, they're no better than we are. So we have to do this together. And our intuition is another tool in our toolbox. But all we seem to understand in our society is only put value on what you can conclude through the use of your five senses, your sight, your hearing, your taste, your smell. What's the fifth one? Feel? Okay. I don't know. Somebody quick, tell me. But our intuition speaks a different language, doesn't it? And we get that gut feeling. Men call it a gut feeling. Women call it an intuition. It doesn't matter what we call it. It's a gift that we have. But if we take the gift and we put it in a drawer and we lock the drawer, we don't use the gift. Use the gift of your intuition to benefit you. Pay attention to it. Because it speaks with truth. It speaks without the filters that we have. And then when you do that, pay attention to what happens when you listen to your intuition. Or pay attention when you get a hit on your intuition and you don't listen to it and see what happens. Because we can learn afterwards and we can say, oh, okay, that didn't work out. And I got a feeling about it and I ignored the feeling. So I need to pay more attention next time. And don't beat yourself up because you don't. Because we're all in a process of learning. Remember, we're here. We're a bunch of kids in a great big school. And we're all here together as students of life. We're all here to learn. Each one of us has a different agenda. Each one of us has different lessons to learn. But we're here to hold hands. How were we taught when we were little kids? When we're crossing the street. Hold hands. Look to the left. Look to the right. But hold hands. Let's hold hands because we're all here to learn and we all have different lessons. We're here to support each other. So that's our intuition. Where do you feel your intuition? How does it work for you? Where do you feel it? I feel mine in my stomach. And sometimes if it's don't do this, it's more like a tightening of the stomach. Well, that should be a, whoa, back off. I don't have to think this thing through. I don't have to engage my ego. I don't have to analyze this to death. I'll just say, okay, back off. I don't need to know why. I don't need to understand. I'm going to follow my intuition and go. Boom. And play it as a game, like when you're waiting for an elevator. Just say, okay, which elevator is coming next? Now, assuming that they're not all sitting there and it tells you which floor they're on, of course, that doesn't guarantee anything, does it? Feel your intuition. Get in touch with it and use it. If your intuition is your guide, it's your trusted friend, you need to embrace it and you need to trust it. And trust is a huge aspect of our life. It tells us how full we'll be or how empty we'll be. We got to trust the process of life. Too many of us are too much concerned with control rather than trust. So let's let go of the need to control. And when I speak on a ship, I ask people for their written resignation as general manager of the earth. So if you would like to submit your written resignation as general manager of the earth, call me at email me at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. And I just want to say a word about compassion. And I think compassion is having a feeling, is having an empathy. It's not necessarily feeling sorry for someone. And don't ever say, I know what you're feeling. Because when my dad died, my aunt, my mom's sister, would say, oh, Lois, you should be over it by now. You know, I know what you're going through. And my mom wasn't this kind of person. She said, Vivian, you don't know what I'm going through. You still have your husband. And I have no concept of how anybody gets through the loss of a husband or a wife, or even worse, a child. So you want to be able to embrace life, have compassion for people, because people feel like they're alone. You got to let people, I'm here to love you. I'm here to support you. What do you want from me? And that's going to enable them to give an answer. Compassion, compassion, compassion. We lack it. We want to judge. We want to criticize. We want to condemn. Let's have some compassion for the path that that person is walking through. Because as a Native American said, you know, don't judge a person until you've walked a mile in their moccasins. And even if you have walked a mile in their moccasins, it's going to be a challenge. So let's move on to the closing story. This is a friend of the author, who I got this online, who was going to a party where he was going to be meeting his wife's co-workers from her new job for the first time. He felt really anxious as the time for the party grew near, and he wondered whether, you know, her co-workers were going to like him or not. Pardon me. He rehearsed various scenarios in his mind, which he tried different ways to impress them. He grew more and more tense. Somehow, on the way to the party, he came up with a radically different approach, one which caused all of his anxiety to melt completely away. He decided that instead of trying to impress anyone, he was going to spend the entire evening simply listening to them and summarizing what they had just said. At the party, he did that. He spent the entire evening listening carefully to everyone, responding with phrases like, "I understand what you're saying. You're feeling strongly that, blah, blah, blah. And let me see if I understand what you mean." And he also avoided voicing his own opinions, even though at times it meant biting his tongue to keep from doing so. To his amazement, he discovered that no one noticed or remarked on the fact that he was just listening. Each person he talked to during the evening seemed content to be listened to without interruption. On the way home, his wife, who he hadn't told about this experiment, told him that a number of people had made a point of telling her what a remarkable person he was. The word charismatic was used by one person to describe him, while another said he was one of the most articulate people she had ever met. What did he do? He listened. So if you want to practice your skill of listening, next time you go to a social event, why not do what this guy did? Just listen. Just give him feedback. You don't have to have an agenda. Just give them feedback. My closing quote here today is by a man named Ralph Nichols. The most basic of all human needs is the need to understand and to be understood. The best way to understand people is to listen to them. We've spent the last hour talking about listening. What was the most important thing you got out of it today? Are you going to write it down? I know Laura's told me in Michigan that she has a journal that she keeps, and she keeps more than one thing. I'm just saying, you know, do one just for kicks. Now, 2 weeks from today, which is March 25th, I'm going to be having complex deviated septum surgery. And that means my nose, okay? So I'm not going to do a show 2 weeks from today on the 25th. And according to what I understand, what he does is, you know, the septum is that part in the middle of our nose, and he's going to do that, and then there's something with the turbinates and all that stuff. And they'll put stuffing in my nose, not like turkey stuffing, just, you know, cotton stuffing. And the next day he'll take it out, but for a week I won't be able to blow my nose. So I don't think we want to do a show on Tuesday, April 1st, for two reasons. One, I may sound really funky, and two is that's my birthday. So my plan then would be to do a show on April 8th, and I'm going to do that on being vulnerable. And then I'll do a show on April 22nd, and we have several topics here that I can choose from. And then on April 26th through May 21st, we're going to be taking a cruise from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to St. Petersburg, Russia, and we're going to spend 3 nights in St. Petersburg. My question to you is, what do you want me to do during that period of time, that 4 weeks when I'm gone? For Mother's Day, I plan to rerun the show we had last year, which was far and away the largest show I've ever had. It was almost 900 people listened to that show. And that was on the joys and sorrows of being a mom. And I interviewed somebody named Amy. And I'll do that. Are there any other shows you would want me to rebroadcast as podcasts while I'm gone? And let me know what you want. Jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. And with that, we can bring another show to a conclusion. And the more I live and the more I go through, the more I get that it's all about our heart and it's all about love. And I want to send my love from my heart to your heart. And I need you to really to receive it. Use your intuition to receive this love. And then after you've received it, please share it with the people in your life. Share this program with the people in your life. All we can do is take care of each other. I love you, and goodbye until, I think, April 8th. Thank you. Bye-bye.